Lord, as a family, and we, as always, children get excited at Christmas time, not necessarily about what I'm trying to get them to focus on, get excited about, but we always bring attention back to the Lord. Our tradition has always been to start the festivities surrounding Christmas the day after Thanksgiving when practical. Sometimes on a few occasions we have been out of town and had to wait till we get back or whatever, but that's always a great time of excitement. There's a focus that exceeds that of the rest of the year for us, and with putting up a tree and putting up decorations and lights and things like that, it's always to the tune of Christmas carols about the Lord, and then Christmas Eve has always been a very special time, because that's the time when we would turn the lights down, use the light from a fireplace if we had one, or a small light, sometimes a flashlight, and we would sit in the living room on the couches, kids on the floor perhaps, and then I would read the Christmas story to my family, and we've done that every year for goodness, better part of 40 years, and it's the same Christmas story every year. We never get tired of it. It's marked specifically in my Bible, so I don't have to try to figure out where the different passages are, and we go from one to the other and back and forth and to get the complete story. And it's frankly has been one of the few times in our house when we had children present where it was quiet. And the children always focused. Now, when they were real small, if they would start to whisper, my wife would bring them back to center there and get them quiet so they can hear the story. We wanted them to understand that was the important aspect of the holiday. That's what we really needed to focus on and spend time, a worshipful time, concentrating on our Lord. And it's been something that we've never forgotten, and not that the kids would have let us forget. They always make sure we come back to that, even as adults. They want to read the Christmas story and hear Daddy. Papa, whichever their person it was, read the Christmas story. And for a lot of folks, having Christmas on Sunday, as it is this year, would be a serious disruption to their day. For us, it just seems like it makes sense. I mean, we go to church and we move our festivities to church and our concentration and focus on the Lord to church where it ought to be. And so it is a very special time, about a month and a half that we dedicate to it from Thanksgiving through New Year's, and we love it a lot. It's very special to our whole family, and this year we will be using the internet, I guess, to bring Adam and his crew in. They won't be coming to town this year. They kind of come in about every other year. But we'll bring them into our home via the World Wide Web so we can let them be a part of the family Christmas as well. And so for us, it's really that. It's family centered around the Lord and a celebration of His, not only His birth, but His life and His sacrifice for us. And it's a very special time.
Thank you very much. Brother Gallardo, get ready. He'll be up here right after the next song.
All right, let's stand one more time and turn over to page 144 in our hymnals. Silent Night, page 144. Come, all is
Coming, and Brother Price, if you can hear my voice, you'll be up after him.
Okay, good morning. They let me out of my cage this morning. For those of you who don't know me, I sit right behind that mirror. Yeah. So, yeah, and that's why they keep me there. Christmas to me means, just as Brother Joplin said, so he took my words right out of my mouth.
Amen.
Exactly. So that's what it's about. More importantly for us, it's obviously the gift of salvation. That Jesus died on the cross for our sins, so that no matter what happens in life to you along the road, you always know you're going to go to heaven. That's what Christmas means to me. Things happen in our lives where we don't understand what happens and why, but we always have the cross to look forward to. With that in mind, it doesn't matter what happens. So this year, it is a very special year for Gladys and I. I think we've been married 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah. You forget, it seems like just yesterday. So we want to wish all of you a happy, very merry, merry Christmas and a happy new year. And don't forget that the reason for the season, and I hate that statement, it's so cliche, is that Jesus was born, came to this world, and died for the sins of the world.
Amen.
Without that, we wouldn't be here. So please have a very, very safe holiday season.
Happy Hanukkah? No, I'm just kidding. The meaning of Christmas, as a child, I'm not really sure you would use the term meaning, maybe so much as focus as to what you're going to get for Christmas. But as you get older, it changes. I know as a child, I mean, for a lot of kids, it's what gift they're going to get, what toy they're going to get, what bike or anything like that. In my case, as a child growing up, my hope was I was going to get a new set of clothes. I came from a family of seven kids. So for those of you who came from a large family, getting a new pair of pants or shirt or something like that at Christmas time was a really big deal. Because typically the ones I got during the year had patches, had been sewn. For those of you who don't know what patches is, that's in the knees where they get worn out. And Mom used to just put a piece of denim over it, depending on what the material was, sew it on there or stitch it on there and then iron it on there, and then you got your new pair of pants during the year. So Christmas was kind of special in the sense that I didn't get a lot of toys, but I did get some new clothes that no one else had worn, so that was a big deal for me. But then as you get older, the true meaning of Christmas really comes into play, and as Brother Joplin and Tony said, it's more about Christ. And if you really think about it, that's the reason for the season, and that's really, without that, we have no hope. And if you think about that, there's a song, I believe Brother Wallace has sung it recently, Mary, Did You Know? And if you really think about the words to that song and about the scripture verse about how the angel came to her and said that she was going to have a child, obviously as a virgin young lady, that was humanly impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible. So that in itself, that meaning right there, to me is very powerful because of the fact that, A, it's never was done before, nor has it ever been done since, as far as a virgin birth. And so that's very special when it comes to the true meaning of Christmas. And if you really think about the words of that song, and he talks about Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save the world? That's pretty powerful. No other religion in the world can say that. Even though they think they have the solution, they don't. I found this poem about the true meaning of Christ. I thought it was very, very applicable to what we're talking about today. And it says, Jesus Christ was born this day so many years before. He came a servant to the lost, though he was Lord of lords. We celebrate this joyous time, reflecting on his birth, not that he was born in a mansion, but a stable as if he had no worth. He came so he could identify with the human heart of man and gave his life as a sacrifice, offering a better plan. A plan that reconciles and gives us salvation to our loving Father God, bringing hope and redemption from sin's ruling iron rod. For this is the only reason that we should celebrate this day. To become focused on anything else would take the meaning away. So let us arise with joy in our hearts and share it with everyone. The meaning of Christmas will always be the birth of Jesus, God's Son.
Amen. All right. Amen. Brother Sells, did you get my message? Are you prepared? Well, come on. Come on. And while he's in the wings, he's going to come up and say something in a minute. But let me, I had my parents write me a note, and they obviously couldn't be here. They live in Florida. Don't hate on them too bad. It's probably 80 degrees there today. You know, it's been really hot there. We're freezing here, and they're hot. But anyway, this is what they had to say. Come on up. Christmas is a time to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, his immaculate life, his birth so that he would die and that we might have eternal life. It is also a time to join with family, if possible, to exchange presents and reminisce over Christmases of the past. The greatest gift God gave was his Son. So that's what my parents had to say.
So I don't know how to add to quite this bunch, but so what I'll just say is what we do in our family for Christmas time, you know, with little ones growing up, they're growing up so fast now, not so little anymore. I've thought a lot about the Mary, did you know, and just imagining, you know, Jesus was the same age as our kids are now, right? And to imagine someone perfect, never doing wrong, and we often think about that, and think about that this Christmas season, but of course the kids are always focused on what gifts they're going to get and what they want for Christmas. But it's been a blessing as we get them focused on what they can give to their other brothers and sisters. So in times past and Christmases past, this is really the first Christmas that they've actually got some of their own money, so they're actually able to buy gifts. But they make so much, and I remember Jenny and I will get frustrated by the time Christmas comes, we'll finally make a rule. It's no more presents for your brothers and sisters because they've spent probably $60 in wrapping paper of things that they've made. But it's exciting to see the Christmas trees full of stuff that they've given to each other. So I'm really trying to focus on giving gifts and thinking of what other needs are during Christmas. And one thing we do every year is, it started at our church in Virginia, Community Baptist Church, is the pastor, Christmas Eve, would always bring, he'd had a Christmas tree up on the stage, and they'd always bring all the kids up. From the time Emily was just two, she was 1 year old, I remember her first time going up there, and we just were hoping she'd sit there the entire time. And he did a chronological story of Christmas all the way from the beginning to Jesus being 13 to going to the temple. And so we do that every Christmas morning. We'll read that and go around the room. And I'll just say last year was a real big blessing to our family. Is, you know, I thought Olivia would just say one verse, but she read a whole chapter, and that was pretty exciting. So anyway, that's Christmas, is just trying to teach the kids about Jesus and the reason for it.
Brother Castillo, you ready to come up and give us your thought? I'll read this. While he's coming up, Brother Sells, he mentioned that Jesus being born in a family and Jesus being the perfect child. Perfect. I read this to teenagers sometimes. Luke 2:51 says, and he went down with them. So Jesus went with his parents and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in his heart. Isn't that something? Jesus, the perfect Son of God, was subject unto his imperfect parents. I hear teenagers say, but my parents aren't perfect. Yeah, take an example of Jesus. He was perfect, and yet he still was subject unto his own parents.
All right, well, what a blessing. I'll tell you, I really enjoy Christmas, and why I just enjoy all the decorations, all the focus, and thankful that there's a time of year that no matter whether the godless heathens, whether they like it or not, you know, they can't stamp it out. And, you know, it kind of seems to me sometimes whatever they try, it's like a child that says, if I don't get my way, I'm going to hold my breath. You know, it's like, go ahead. You know, you will breathe eventually, and you're not going to stop it. And I'll tell you, I really, and I especially enjoy Christmas on when it's on a Sunday. I don't know, there's just something about it. It's, well, why? I don't know. I just do. I just enjoy Christmas on Sunday. Just love seeing. There's just something about it. Just the air, it feels like it breathes fresh, and it's just awesome. And I really look forward to it. Part of it, though, generally growing up, anyways, really any Christmas celebration, in large part, was on Christmas Eve. That's what we did. And Christmas Day was just kind of a carryover. It wasn't the big celebration. Was always Christmas Eve. But I really enjoy it. And what it means to me is, you know, just family, being around family and having that opportunity. And by extension, I mean, when I say family, really my church family. It's just like extended family. I my relationships with them are much closer, much more sweet, honestly, than many times my own physical family. It's just the reality of it, being in the Lord and knowing the Lord. And I'll tell you, I love Christmas, and I just enjoy it because it's the rest of the year. It seems like many times, or much of the year, or many times, that the world just tries to avoid it. They try to stamp it down, try to erase it. But right around Christmas time, you can hold your breath all you want, but it's not going to help. It's going to be known through the decorations, through the symbols, through the traditions. That's why I enjoy hearing about the different traditions that people have. No matter what your tradition is, you know, unless it's wicked or sinful, but the traditions, what they are, just to memorialize it, to remember. Yeah. And to me, I really enjoy that, knowing about all those traditions and what that different people do and what they do to really to point towards the Lord and remember that he's to be honored. And I enjoy that. And what a blessing, though. And Merry Christmas.
Amen. Brother Perry, you can come up next. And Brother Smith, you'll be after that. So, one of the things we used to do is we had a nativity scene, and we put lights around a nativity scene. So that was kind of our, we didn't have a tree, so we put a nativity scene and put lights around it. So,
well, the first thing I don't like about around Christmas time is Xmas. People trying to shut out Christ, or Happy Holidays so they don't have to say Christ. I hate that. But we do know this, that Jesus did come, he did die, that we might be saved. And one of the things, one of the blessings this last couple of weeks was that Marissa, Deanna's youngest, her daughter, came running into the house the other night and said, "Papa, I got saved." Amen. And then you think, that couldn't have happened without Jesus coming, without him being born a virgin and dying for our sins. I look around at all my grandkids. All my family is saved, as far as I know. Those that are still safe, not saved yet, but safe, have a great opportunity to be saved, being in our family. I'm grateful for my extended family, my son-in-laws, my daughter-in-law. What a blessing they've been to us. I'm not going to have them all here this Christmas because my son and them can't be here. But they were here for our anniversary. So I say, okay, that'll work. But we need to realize that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And at Christmas time, we need to celebrate that and realize without that, we wouldn't have heaven as our home. Thank you.
Yeah, Christmas is a special time. Brother Smith, you come up, and special time where we get to tell others about Jesus. It's a time the whole world sets aside a time to worship our Savior.
Good morning. I'd like to begin by saying, of course, Christmas is a very special time of year. It is more special to my wife. That is her favorite time of year. My favorite is Easter. But we have done some interesting things in our family over the years at Christmas. Some of my children didn't like it at the time, but I said, it's a lesson for you. I remember one year what we did was we took all the money that we're going to spend on Christmas gifts, and I said, no gifts this year. I said, all the money's going to a missionary. I said, we're going to find out what their need is, and I said, and we're going to send the money to them so they can meet that need. Another year, we had a needy family in the church. I said, no gifts this year. I said, all the money that would be spent on Christmas is going to them. I said, because you've got to learn that Christmas is not about getting. It's about giving. And if you don't learn that at a young age, you'll never learn it at an older age. But Christmas has a special meaning to me for a very different reason that was mentioned here this morning. You see, I was saved at 13 years of age. I was saved at Fellowship Baptist Church, used to be on Old Pearsall Road. At the time, Brother Dyes was the pastor. However, I fell in love with basketball and football. And because I played sports, I also fell in love with the world. And I walked away from God, and I took a beeline for the world. But I had a mother who prayed for me. And every morning I would get up, and there was a rocking chair in the corner of the room. And I just dreaded going by there because it seemed like she always mentioned my name to God. Get a hold of Shell's heart. Show him to get the right way and help him get back to God. Well, it was December of 1981, believe it or not, 35 years ago now. I was in college at the time. My mother, I came to her and I said, Mom, I said, it's Christmas. I said, what can I get for you? She said, I don't want any gifts. I said, what do you want, Mom? She said, I want you to come to church with me. At that time, the pastor was Larry Odom, now a missionary that we support. And I said, man, I'm getting off easy. I said, okay, if that's all it takes, Mom, I'll go to church with you. And I did. Little did I know that God had something planned for my heart. It was a week before Christmas. Sat in a pew. And when the invitation was given, I gripped that puppy like you've never seen before. And I wasn't going to let go. I said, it's all about me, God, and I know what you want for my life is my heart. And I said, you gave the greatest gift, and you want to restore my relationship with you. And I said, I don't want to do that. And I fought him, but the Spirit of God wouldn't let go. My wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, was standing next to me. She had never seen me before, began to weep, bawled like a baby. Finally, I broke down and went forward. She said, oh my goodness, that's my boyfriend. Soon to be my husband, because we were married about 7 months after that. I went forward and I rededicated my life to the Lord. And I said, God, I'm all yours. And you know, I had a rebirth of Christ in December of 1981. So when I look back on Christmas, yeah, it's about the birth of Christ. But more importantly to me, it's about the rebirth of Christ in my heart. And it's because of my mother's prayers. I spent 21 years in the ministry, and I've been serving him for 35 years now. Yeah. I'll close with this. When I rededicated my life, I told my father. My father said, just another phase. You'll grow out of it. And when Christmas time comes around, I put my arm around my dad and I said, Dad, I love you. I said, but this phase has been going on for 35 years and it gets sweeter all the time. Yeah. So for me, Christmas has a special meaning because of the rebirth of Jesus Christ in my heart. May God bless you and have a Merry Christmas. Yeah.
All right. You can turn to 2 Samuel 7. We're going to be there in just a minute. I'll read you. We'll be giving out these as our Christmas card. We usually put together a poem.
was this year. Christmas trees decorated with love, tinsel bulbs, lights all aglow, presents all wrapped under the tree, dazzling paper and beautiful bows. Up north there is sparkling snow like powder spread all over the hills, shining, glistening from the brilliant sun, deep drifts touching the windowsills. Down south there are warmer days. Well, not today, but down south there are warmer days. No need for coats or winter gear. Children playing in the parks and streets. What a wonderful time of year. Though these are good memories to have, may I say that Christmas time is much more than just shiny decorations. So what is Christmas time really for? The hour when even the world sets aside a day to honor the occasion when God came to earth. The Christ child, whose name is Emmanuel, God with us, at his miraculous virgin birth. Born to usher God's love towards all alike, laid in a manger, a lowly cradle for a king. Come to be the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, the gift of eternal life to graciously bring. Risen with healing in his wings, victory over death, hell, and the grave. Now with power and with inviting arms, by faith all mankind can be saved. So that's Christmas poem. And 2 Samuel chapter 7, what I want to do, we've been in this series, Eight is Enough, and I want to try to tie the Davidic covenant with Christmas. It's a perfect time. This is a perfect time to be in the Davidic covenant at Christmas time, and we'll tie it right together for you. Next Sunday being Christmas, we're not going to have Sunday school next Sunday, nor the Sunday after that, if you hadn't got the announcement yet. So next Sunday and the Sunday after that, we're not having Sunday school. We'll be back in the new year. So, you know, when the 8th comes, on January 8th, we'll be back in here. But the next two Sundays will be out. So we wanted to have a time of a family of sorts and have people come up and tell what they thought Christmas meant to them. But also want to show you how the Davidic covenant and Christmas, they intersect. And again, it's a perfect time to get a glimpse of the magical, mystical, miraculous coming of Jesus. So 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we'll look at the Davidic covenant itself. We'll just read it, verse 12, 2 Samuel 7:12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, now this is being spoken to David, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And here's the emphasis of the Davidic covenant: in thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. So with this thought in mind, let's skip to the Christmas story and visit the coming of Emmanuel and the peak of the coming of the king, the Christmas story. In Matthew chapter 1, we find the story in Matthew 1, 18 through 25. But in verse 20 it says this: But while he thought on these things, this is Joseph thinking on the things the angel came and said, thinking about his wife being pregnant, behold, or his espoused wife, he's engaged. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, and then it puts this little phrase in there, thou son of David. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. But notice that the Holy Spirit puts that in there, thou son of David. Thou son of David mentions the lineage of Joseph. It documents it and details in there that Joseph was in the line of David. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but the idea of the lineage, in Bible days, lineage is very important as far as being a Jewish person. They had to have this lineage. It was important. It was paramount. It was significant. I thought about several things in the Bible where we see lineage come up. Proverbs 1:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Solomon thought it was more important to be the son of David than it was to be the king of Israel, and he put that in there, the claim of his being in the line of David. Nehemiah 7, in verse 64, these sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but it was not found. Therefore were they as polluted, put from the priesthood. And that Nehemiah was setting up or establishing or launching the priesthood again. And in order for them to be able to be part of that priesthood, they had to be able to establish or prove or show their pedigree, their lineage, their registration, if, as you were, of the lineage of Levi. And if they couldn't show that, they were put out of the priesthood. It was a big deal, this lineage type thing. Today in England, one of those countries that has kings and queens in a royal bloodline, I read Prince Charles is presently heir, next in line, to the British throne. He will not become king until his mother, Queen Elizabeth, abdicates, gives up her throne, or retires, or dies. When either of these happen, Prince Charles may abdicate and pass the throne to his eldest son, Prince William. But either way, you see how this lineage is in place. And in the book of Matthew, when the Christmas story is just given in a short little amount of time, speaking of Joseph, it says he was in the line of David. In order for Jesus to be able to be the king and sit on the throne of David, he had to be in the line of David. Well, from Joseph's side, who was really just his stepdaddy, but nevertheless, in the line, he was in the line of David. Over in Luke chapter 2 and verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. And then it puts this little thing in parentheses, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Because he was of the house and the lineage of David. Once again, we can see the linking or the chain, if you will, the lineage of Joseph. Notice it says house and lineage. In Bible days, Jewish folks, they were registered in several different ways. They had a tribe, but they also had families. So they had tribes, and they also had families. Well, in fact, in one of the dark hours of Joshua's time, Joshua 7:16, so Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. So we got all these tribes of Israel out there, and the tribe of Judah was taken, and he brought forth the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites. So the Zerahites were part of the family of the larger tribe that he was looking at, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, was taken. So you see how the pedigree, I mean, had this long pedigree, both tribe as well as family. And so when it mentions Joseph there, it says because he was the house and the lineage of David. He was in this family line. He wasn't just from the tribe of Judah, but he was of the family line of David. He was part of David's family. So again, Joseph was in the line of David, the house of David, the family of David. But may I say also, Mary was also in the same line. Luke chapter 1, verse 27. To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, Jesus came to be the Savior of all mankind, praise the Lord, but also he came to one day be the King. The King, and he had to have this kingly line, and this kingly line goes all the way back to the Davidic covenant as he was part of David's line. And then Luke 1:31 says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. Boy, isn't that something? He shall be great, you think? Jesus. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. That word, the Highest, it's only used all throughout the New Testament. It's just several times, but each time it's used, it refers to God. Refers to God. So the Highest, the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, we've been talking about this Davidic covenant for a while, how that God was going to give David, he was going to perpetuate not just David's family, but also David's throne. He's going to bless his seed as well as the throne. And here we're talking about the Christmas story. The Christmas story and the angel speaking to Mary. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom shall there be no end. Can you see the Davidic covenant in there? I mean, it's right in the Christmas story. When you read the Christmas story this year, hopefully you'll read it next week. When you read the Christmas story, we've been talking about this Davidic covenant. Well, there it is. In the very Christmas story, you can see it. David's throne reigning forever, no end of his kingdom, just like 2 Samuel 7:16 said, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, thy throne shall be established forever." It's like we're reading the same thing. The Christmas story and the Davidic covenant, they fit right together. Right together, because it's the time that Jesus would come, not just to be the Savior of the world, though He did, and though He is, but He came also not just as a babe, not just as an infant, not just as a newborn, but He came also to be King. Be king and to fulfill his place in the promise of the Davidic covenant. So there you go, tying the Davidic covenant in with the Christmas time. So again, when you read the story this year, when you read that Christmas story and you think about Jesus, and as they've said, he's the reason for the season. He really is. And how God came to earth, Emmanuel, God with us, how he came to earth. Not only did he come to fulfill all the promises of him going to the cross and dying for us and rising again so that we can have salvation, he also came to become our king, which a lot of the Christmas songs say. So, fulfilling the Davidic covenant. So, we're a couple minutes early, but I think you'll be all right with that. There's probably food and stuff in the fellowship hall, and you're welcome to that, coffee, that type of stuff. Thank you for coming today, and I'm glad we could get together as a family of sorts and tell about Christmas time. So, Merry Christmas to you and yours. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, I ask that you bless what's been said and what our hearts have felt. I ask that you would bless these folks. We love them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.